picture this, right? You have spent weeks planning the absolute perfect party.
Oh, yeah. We've all been there.
Right. You've curated the playlist, you've agonized over the appetizers, and you've spent, frankly, a small fortune on this beautiful, elaborate balloon display.
The centerpiece.
Exactly. It's the centerpiece of the room. But as the doorbell rings and your very first guests start walking through the door, you look over and, well, your magnificent floating display is already looking incredibly sad.
It's just the worst feeling.
It really is. The
No.
balloons are wrinkly, they are like losing their shape, and they're just hovering awkwardly at exactly knee height.
It is the ultimate party planning heartbreak. I mean, you do all that work, and basic physics just decides to ruin the aesthetic at the worst possible moment.
Yeah, it's a high-stress nightmare that so many of us have lived through. But today on the Deep Dive, we are on a mission to save you from ever experiencing that specific sinking feeling again. We are taking a stack of notes specifically. We have this definitive guide written by Daniel Moreau, who is the lead balloon artist and installation specialist at Party Boutiques. And we're extracting the exact science of why this happened.
Yeah, we're essentially turning this source material into a literal survival guide for your decorations.
Which is so needed.
It is. And it's the perfect document for this because, you know, he spends his days fielding exactly these kinds of panicked questions from customers. He breaks down not just the strategy of making your party decor survive, but the invisible mechanics working against you from the moment you leave the store.
And we have so much ground to cover today. We are going to uncover the surprising physics of why certain balloons fail so quickly. We'll look at the actual microscopic architecture of latex versus foil. And we'll explore the chemistry of a coating called high float.
Which is a game changer.
Total game changer. Plus, we're going to reveal the strategic secret of knowing exactly when you should be skipping helium altogether. Okay, let's unpack this.
Well, before we can even start talking about when you should inflate your balloons, we have to talk about what exactly you're inflating.
Right.
Because, as our source makes very clear, the countdown clock starts ticking down the absolute second the gas goes in.
The clock starts immediately.
Exactly. Everything before that moment is entirely in your control. But once that valve opens, you are at the mercy of the material.
Okay, so we're basically looking at the great material divide here. You've got latex on one side and foil on the other. And there is a statistic from this guide that honestly stopped me in my tracks.
Oh, the helium volume stat.
Yes, it really shifts how you think about buying balloons.
It totally does. If you take a standard 11-inch latex balloon and you take an 18-inch foil round balloon, you know, those metallic shiny ones you see
Like
everywhere.
the classic party store ones.
Yeah, those. They require the exact same amount of helium. They both hold exactly 0.5 cubic feet of gas.
Wait, pause. You're telling me that a massive, shiny 18-inch foil balloon and a standard, everyday 11-inch latex balloon take the exact same amount of helium?
Yep, exactly half a cubic foot.
Oh, but if I'm holding one of each in my hands, they look completely different in terms of volume. Like, how does the physical math work there?
Well, it comes down to the geometry of the vessels. An 11-inch latex balloon inflates into a nearly perfect sphere, right? So it expands in every single direction simultaneously.
Okay.
An 18-inch foil balloon, however, starts as two flat discs that are sealed together at the edges,
Oh, I see.
right? So when you inflate it, it puffs out in the center, but the edges remain pinched. It forms a sort of flattened cushion shape, not a true sphere.
Like a pillow.
Exactly like a pillow.
Okay.
So even though it measures 18 inches across its diameter when flat, its actual internal volume maxes out at that same half cubic foot.
That completely changes the mental math at the party store. You aren't choosing how much gas to buy. Like a standard 242 cubic foot cylinder of helium is going to fill exactly 484 of either of those balloons.
Exactly. You are just choosing what type of skin to wrap around that same pocket of gas.
And the difference in lifespan between those two identical half cubic foot pockets of gas is staggering. According to the guide, that 11-inch latex balloon is only going to float for about 18 to 24 hours.
Right.
But that 18-inch foil balloon, it is going to stay afloat for 3 to 5 days. You put the same amount of gas in, but one is dead by the next morning and the other is still going strong nearly a week later.
Yeah, it's wild.
Why is that gap so massive? Like, if they hold the exact same volume of the exact same gas, why does one die practically overnight?
What's fascinating here is the structural difference at a molecular level.
Okay.
So latex is natural rubber, and at a microscopic scale, that rubber is highly porous. It's essentially a matrix of long polymer chains with tiny gaps between them.
The microscopic holes.
Right. Now, keep in mind that helium is the second smallest molecule in the universe, right behind hydrogen. So it doesn't need a tear or a puncture to escape. It simply navigates through those microscopic gaps in the solid wall of the latex balloon, steadily, for the moment you fill it.
So it's basically like trying to hold water in a pasta strainer.
That is a brilliant way to visualize it, yes. The latex is the pasta strainer, and the helium is the water just constantly weeping out.
That makes so much sense.
And that is exactly why a latex balloon gets wrinkly and sinks slowly to the floor. It doesn't usually pop at the end of its life, you know. It slowly shrivels because it's been bleeding gas out of millions of invisible pores the entire time.
Okay, so if latex is a pasta strainer, how does the foil balloon hold on to its helium for almost a week?
Well, foil balloons, which are properly called microfoil, act more like a solid Tupperware container.
Okay, no holes.
Right. They are made of a very thin, metallized plastic film, typically nylon, coated with aluminum. And because of that dense metallic layer, the helium molecule simply cannot easily pass through the film itself.
So it's trapped.
Mostly. The only places a foil balloon can leak are very, very slowly at the self-sealing valve, or along the heat-sealed seams around the outer edges.
And because the actual film isn't weeping gas, that brings up another huge advantage of foil, right? You can actually take a foil balloon back to the counter a few days later and have it topped up with a little more helium to bring it back to life.
Yes, you can.
But you cannot do that with a latex balloon, because once it loses gas, it loses its structural stretch forever.
Exactly. Because once that natural rubber stretches to accommodate the initial gas, it permanently loses its elasticity.
Right. It's like trying to rewear a pair of socks that have been stretched out over a melon.
Yeah.
Like, they are never going back to their original shape, and they definitely won't hold tight if you try to stretch them a second time.
Spot on. The structural integrity of the latex is compromised the second it begins shrinking.
Let me push back on this for a second, though. Because if foil is essentially a Tupperware container that holds gas reliably for days, and latex is a leaky pasta strainer that dies in under 24 hours, why does anyone even bother buying latex balloons anymore?
That is a very fair question.
Like, why not just demand foil for absolutely everything?
Well, there is a very practical nuance here. Latex is still incredible for volume and aesthetics.
Ah, okay.
If you are building massive cascading garlands, or, you know, you need a very specific cohesive matte color palette to match a brand or a wedding theme, foil just won't work. Latex gives you that organic round shape and infinite color matching.
Right, foil is always kind of metallic and crinkly on the edges.
Exactly. And here is a really surprising detail from the source. Not all latex is created equal when it comes to holding gas.
The finishes actually change the physics.
They do. They alter the porosity of the rubber. So if you are buying 11-inch latex balloons, the chrome finish actually floats the longest, giving you 22 to 26 hours of float time.
Oh, wow. Why chrome?
The metallic pigments in the chrome finish actually help plug some of those microscopic gaps.
That's amazing.
Meanwhile, the metallic and pearl finishes are actually the worst performers, giving you only 16 to 18 hours.
Wait, really?
Yeah, because the way those specific pigments interact with the rubber makes it slightly more brittle and porous.
So if I'm trying to deduce a solution here, if we are stuck using our porous pasta strainer because we need that perfect matte pink color scheme, we have to find a way to plug up all those microscopic pores. If the problem is invisible holes in rubber, I'm imagining you'd need some sort of internal sealant.
You were stepping right into the magic potion of the balloon world. Mm-hmm. It's a product called HyFloat.
HyFloat. I love the name. It does exactly what it says on the tin.
It really does.
But physically, what is this stuff? How do you patch a million microscopic holes from the inside of a sphere?
So HyFloat is a liquid plastic, specifically a water-soluble polymer solution. Yeah. And here is how it works mechanically. Before any helium is put in, you squirt a small amount of this thick liquid deep into the uninflated latex balloon.
Just squirt it right in.
Yeah. Then you rub the outside of the balloon to spread the liquid around, ensuring the entire interior is completely coated. Then you inflate it with helium.
So the helium pressure basically pushes that liquid against the walls.
Yes. And as the liquid dries inside the balloon, it forms a highly flexible, impermeable plastic membrane clinging to the inside of the rubber.
Wow.
It essentially builds a plastic bag inside the latex balloon. And that membrane actively blocks the pores, drastically slowing down the helium escape rate while remaining flexible enough not to snap if the balloon gets bumped.
The numbers in the guide on this are genuinely hard to believe.
They are insane.
We said an untreated 11-inch latex balloon lasts about 12 to 24 hours, depending on the finish.
Right.
But if you coat that exact same balloon with this polymer membrane, its lifespan jumps to an incredible 1 to 4 weeks.
It completely changes the arithmetic of party planning. I mean, if you step up to a 16-inch round latex balloon, an untreated one gives you about 30 hours. Treated with high float, you are looking at 3 to 7 weeks of float time.
Weeks. Okay, but logistically, I have to assume there is a massive catch.
Always a catch.
If this is a wet polymer liquid that has to coat the inside of a balloon and then completely dry to form a seal, I assume I can't just run into a party store on a busy Saturday morning 5 minutes before my kid's birthday and say, hey, can you throw some high float in these 50 balloons while I wait?
That is the major caveat, yes.
Yeah.
Because it is a wet liquid inside a sealed, dark environment, the treated balloon needs significant time to dry and set to form that barrier.
Makes sense.
If you move them around too much while they're wet, the coating streaks, which leaves unprotected pores. You cannot do this on the fly while you're waiting at the counter.
Right.
It has to be arranged ahead of time so the shop can prep, fill, and dry the balloons properly in a climate-controlled room before you just shove them into the back of your car.
That makes complete sense. So we've figured out the chemistry of making latex last longer, but here's where it gets really interesting. Do we even need helium for every single balloon at a party?
No.
Like, why fight this battle against escaping gas at all?
This is a major strategy shift, and it is the golden rule from the experts at the party counter. You need to stop putting helium in everything.
The rule of thumb is brilliant in its simplicity, honestly. Helium is only for things that absolutely must be suspended in the air.
Exactly. If you have a bouquet of balloons floating in the corner, a giant number balloon hovering over the birthday cake, or, you know, decorations pinned to the ceiling, those need helium.
Sure.
But everything structural, your floor standing arches, your cascading cable garlands, your photo backdrops, all of that should be filled with standard everyday atmospheric air.
And why does air win for structure? Because it bypasses the entire porosity problem.
Completely.
The nitrogen and oxygen molecules in everyday air are much larger than helium molecules. They simply don't fit through the pores of the latex at anywhere near the same rapid rate.
Right.
So an air-filled latex balloon will hold its rigid shape for days, sometimes even weeks, without looking sad and wrinkly.
And if we look beyond just the aesthetics of your party.
Yeah.
There is a massive environmental and cost factor at play here.
Oh, totally.
We tend to treat helium like it's unlimited, but it is not something we can easily manufacture in a lab.
Yeah.
It is a finite, non-renewable resource.
Which is wild to think about. I always just assumed we extracted it from the air, but the guide points out it's actually pulled out of the earth right alongside natural gas.
It is entirely geological. Helium is created deep within the Earth's crust by the incredibly slow radioactive decay of elements like uranium.
Wow.
Over hundreds of millions of years, those alpha particles accumulate as helium gas and get trapped under impermeable rock formations. We drill down, tap those pockets, and refine it. And once we pull it out of the ground, we can't put it back.
The consumption numbers in the source are wild. Lifting gas, which includes party balloons alongside weather balloons and blimps, accounts for roughly 18% of total U.S. helium consumption. And interestingly enough, Canada supplies 36% of all U.S. helium imports.
It is a profoundly precious resource. It's used for MRI machines, aerospace engineering, deep sea diving. So when you look at the math on large balloon displays, it becomes ethically and practically obvious why air is the better choice.
Oh, 100%.
Think about a massive 24-inch round latex balloon used for a big corporate event. That single balloon takes 5 cubic feet of helium to float.
Wait, let me do the math from our earlier segment. We established that an 18-inch foil takes 0.5 cubic feet.
Yes.
So that one giant latex balloon takes 10 times the amount of helium as a standard foil balloon.
Exactly. Now imagine building an entire 116-piece arch kit using helium. You are burning through an immense amount of a finite geologically rare resource for a structure that doesn't even need to float because it's physically tied to a plastic frame.
Right.
Using a $20 electric air pump for those structural pieces saves an incredible amount of gas and frankly saves you hundreds of dollars.
So if someone is listening right now and they want to put all this into practice, let's say their party is on Saturday. Let's build the ultimate timeline backwards based on the physics we've discussed.
Okay, let's do it.
If they only have time to hit the store on Thursday, what is the only balloon they should be buying?
Thursday for a Saturday party, you are exclusively buying foil balloons.
Okay.
Foil is incredibly forgiving. Because they float for 3 to 5 days, you can easily have these inflated 2 days ahead of the event, and the metallized film will keep them looking pristine.
Got it. What if they want latex, but they want it treated with the high-float polymer?
Again, because of the long lifespan and the required internal drying time, you want to arrange this several days ahead.
Yeah.
You call the store on Wednesday for your Saturday party, let them do the messy work and pick them up Friday.
Which leaves plain, untreated latex, the pasta strainers.
Right. And this is where everyone makes the fatal mistake. Plain latex must be inflated the morning of the event. Never, ever the night before.
Seriously. Because if you have a party at 2 p.m. on Saturday, and you go to the store and get plain latex balloons filled at 8 p.m. on Friday night, by the time your first guest arrives, that balloon is already 18 hours old.
Yep.
It has been bleeding gas the entire night. It's going to be hovering right at the height of your dining room table.
This raises an important question, though, because even if you follow that timeline perfectly, there are invisible enemies that can absolutely destroy those expected float times before your guests arrive.
Oh, the environmental traps. The guide outlines a few major ones, starting with heat and humidity.
Heat and humidity are brutal. They will roughly halve your float time across the board.
Wow, halve it?
Yeah. The moisture in the air affects the rubber, and a late July backyard party is basically a torture test for a balloon.
And direct sun is even worse than just ambient heat.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's basic thermodynamics. The sun hits the balloon, and the dark rubber absorbs the heat, which in turn heats the helium gas inside. The gas expands rapidly.
Yeah.
That expansion physically stretches the latex wall to its limit, making all those microscopic pores even bigger, which means the gas leaks out even faster.
Making the pasta strainer holes bigger.
Exactly. Or, if it stretches too much, the rubber just fails entirely and it bursts. That's why outdoor afternoon parties always sound like pop and bubble wrap.
Then there are the indoor hazards. A stippled or textured ceiling acts like sandpaper on a balloon that's bobbing against it, slowly wearing away the latex. And oily residues actually degrade rubber on contact.
Yeah, that means if you have sunscreen on your hands when you grab the string, you are compromising the balloon.
No way.
Or if you float a beautiful bouquet in the kitchen right next to the stove where cooking grease aerosolizes in the air, the rubber breaks down.
Yeah.
So keep them away from the stove.
But my absolute favorite trap mentioned in the guide, because it is so specific to where we live, is the Canadian winter trap.
Huh. Yes. It catches people out every single winter.
Right.
We just established that gas expands when it gets hot. Conversely, gas compresses and shrinks when it gets cold.
Makes sense.
So picture this. You buy a gorgeous, perfectly inflated foil balloon. You walk out of the warm party store and step onto the street in minus 10 degrees in January. Within 60 seconds, that foil balloon is going to instantly wrinkle, sag, and look like it's half empty.
I can feel the panic just thinking about it. Like, you just paid $20 for a giant licensed character balloon, and it is actively dying in the parking lot.
Yep.
But listen to me. If you see it shrinking in the parking lot, do not panic, and definitely do not go back inside and ask the store to top it up.
Seriously, please do not march back inside and demand more helium. The balloon does not have a leak.
Right.
The gas molecules have just pulled closer together because of the cold. If you force the store to top it up with more helium while it's cold and compressed, you are severely overinflating it.
Because what happens when you go inside?
Well, the minute you bring that overinflated balloon into your warm living room, the gas is going to warm up and expand again, and it is going to blow right through those heat-sealed seams. It will violently pop.
So just bring the sad, winkly balloon inside, set it down, and let physics do the work. As it warms up to room temperature, the gas will expand and puff it back out. It will look absolutely perfect again in 10 minutes.
Exactly. Trust the physics.
This has been incredibly eye-opening. We've learned that the secret to a flawless party display isn't just throwing money at decorations. It is choosing the right vessel foil versus latex and mastering the timing of when you expose that vessel to the elements.
And knowing when to bypass the headache entirely by using air instead of precious helium.
Exactly. And if you are listening to this and thinking, I want my next event to be absolutely stress-free, mm-hmm. The author of this guide actually puts his money where his mouth is. Daniel Moreau's shop offers a service where they handle the entire timeline for you.
Which is huge.
Yeah. If you visit partyboutiques.ca to purchase your balloons, Party Boutiques will actually do the inflation with helium absolutely for free.
It takes the logistical nightmare completely off your plate.
You just go to their Thornhill counter, which is located at 7724 Yonge Street. All you have to do is tell them the exact day and hour of your party. That's it.
Very simple.
They will tell you exactly what materials to buy, whether you need high float, and exactly when you need to pick them up so they look perfect for your guests. Again, check them out at partyboutiques.ca.
It's the ultimate hack.
It really is. So, what does this all mean? We've spent this entire deep dive talking about the microscopic pores of latex, the geometry of foil, and how helium slowly escapes into your living room to ruin your party aesthetics.
Yeah.
But I want to leave you with one final, totally mind-bending thought from the research that we haven't even touched on yet.
Oh, this really reframes how you look at a deflating balloon.
It totally does. We talked about the helium weeping out of the latex, right?
Ready?
But because helium is the second lightest element in existence, once it escapes that balloon and finds its way out your front door, it doesn't just hang around in the air at eye level. It keeps going. It floats up into the sky, higher and higher, penetrating all the way to the upper edges of the Earth's atmosphere. And eventually, because it is so incredibly light, Earth's gravity can't hold on to it. It gets slowly stripped away by solar winds and gets blown out into deep space.
It permanently leaves the planet.
Yes. The exact helium that you use to celebrate your kid's Saturday afternoon birthday party eventually becomes part of the cosmos. It was trapped underground for millions of years, stopped at your house for an afternoon, and then just drifts into the void of the universe.
It's almost poetic.
It is. Something to think about the next time you are sitting on the couch watching a balloon slowly sink toward the floor.